Good morning. Good morning. It's 11 o'clock, 11:07 actually. Hope you're having a great day. I'm having a great day here. You can reach me at 508-996-0500. There's a lot to talk about. The mayor was here with us yesterday. Many of you were tuned in for that. Your reactions to what the mayor had to say. He has submitted the name of the chief of police for confirmation to the city council. We had an earlier caller, a great caller, and I posed the idea that that's fine, but what if the city council rejects him? What if Chief Jason Thode is rejected by the city council? As the caller points out, there would be no reason to reject them. No good reason, in my mind. I don't know a good reason to reject Chief Thode. But this is the New Bedford City Council. You have at least one, maybe three potential opponents of the current mayor in the next election cycle in that city council. Shane Burgo, after coming in a distant third in the at-large race for city council, but still making the council, he was declaring that the mayor's race was already started, right? He was out that night, according to people I've talked to, including one lobbyist, that Shane Burgo was saying the election for mayor starts tonight. I happen to think he's right. I don't know if he's in it, though. Really in the running. Not after coming in third place in the at-large race, when we all know that Shane Burgo's target was to be number one. Ian Abreu was number one. And I know Ian Abreu's got a lot of people around him and on the periphery of his world encouraging him to run for mayor. A lot of them are assuming John Mitchell is not going to run again for re-election. I don't know where I am yet. I know I'm not a good predictor of the future. So I'm not sure my opinion at this stage has a lot of value other than the fact that we're speculating. But I really believe today, if I had to gun to the head, I had to answer it, I would say John Mitchell is running for re-election. That's me. I would say that. But I know people that are close to the mayor who think he may not be. But I am telling you, I am one of the few people outside of the mayor's inner circle that meet with him every week for an hour and we have a conversation. And Mayor Mitchell seems just as enthusiastic about the job as I've ever seen him. Maybe, and this isn't a criticism, he may be more enthusiastic today than even a few years ago. Not a criticism, just that he seems to have used the ARPA funds. A lot of you don't agree with it, but he used the ARPA funds to lay down foundations for his vision for a better New Bedford, right? I know the mayor is very enthusiastic about the blue economy stuff. He's very enthusiastic about the New Bedford Robotics and Research Company. He's going to resubmit zoning in an attempt to open up more housing opportunities in the city of New Bedford. The city council's, some members are going to fight him on that. I believe there's compromise. I think there's compromise. But my point is that there's a number of people on that city council who imagine themselves and their supporters imagine them to be the mayor of the city of New Bedford, right? We know that Brian Gomes has taken a shot at it. Linda, the dearly departed Linda Morad has taken an attempt at it. She's still got a lot of money in the bank. She could be coming back. She's still got a lot of influence over Les, but a lot of influence over councilors. And she's still got a vote in the council until January. So could they reject Chief Thody to be the chief of police? It's possible. We know Shane Burgos always looking to make a political stand against anything the mayor does. And he's got a couple of people that'll go with him, code holders and whatnot. Was it smart of the mayor to submit? Was it good politics to submit the name to the chief of the chief to the city council? Now, my opinion is that, and this is based on conversations with former Mayor Lang and Mayor Mitchell, that it is the appointment only of the mayor. It does not need confirmation of the city council. And I think you can see chaos on the horizon by giving the city council the opportunity to reject him. Because again, if you you submit the name and they say no, where do you go from there? Where do you go from there? So I don't know. And I get that they're looking for a political win. In other words, I got to be honest with you. The mayor, in my opinion, and the entire conversation about it was had on the air. So you can listen to it on the podcast. I didn't speak to him about it off the air. I didn't. My entire conversation with him was on the air. And what I got out of that conversation is he doesn't care. In other words, this is a compromise without a compromise. And he's just placating them. And he's kind of hoping, he believes, that they'll just confirm Thody and do what he wants. Because that's the rational thing to do. And God love him. God love the mayor for having faith in the members of the city council that they'll do the right thing. But I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a risky move. Because what if they do say no? Does the mayor say it doesn't really matter anyway? Which is what I believe he would say. I really believe that John Mitchell would say, great, that's good for you. It doesn't really matter. I was just giving you the opportunity to save face. You did something stupid. Maybe he's given them enough rope to hang themselves. I don't know. But would it shock you if Shane Burgo, in an attempt to be relevant again after his near defeat on election day. Now, in other words, I know that Shane Burgo was trying to be the number one vote getter instead of Ian Abreu, and he failed. He failed dramatically in front of the world. He went from being the second highest vote getter to being the third vote getter. Third highest vote getter. A major fall from grace. And he, remember, Ian Abreu's name begins with A, top of the ballot, placement. Burgo, B, second place. The guy who came in second this time, James Roy, his name began with an R, obviously, Roy, like Rapid Roy, the stock car driver. And Rapid Roy went all the way to number two. Rapid Roy, James Roy, went all the way to number two, surpassing the man who envisioned himself to be his mentor, Shane Burgo. Shane desperately needed to be number one, so he'd have one more thing besides being the city council president to make himself relevant as an opponent to the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell, 2 years from now. And that dream died when he came in third. Why do we think he came in third? Well, it was the first election that the people of Ward 1, Ward 3, and the rest of the city got to vote on Shane Burgo after he made the announcement, forced out by my colleague Barry Richard here on WBSM, that he wanted to build an authorized tent city for the homeless of New England to gravitate right to the city of New Bedford. He wanted to put it out by the airport. Right? That's all the people of Ward 3, all the people of Ward 1, some of the people of Ward 2, actually, as well. That may be another reason why Maria G. Esta lost the election. Because of that 10th city, but 13 votes, not a lot. But anyway, this election was the first time the city got to vote on Shane Burgo with all of his crazy ideas, like the 10th city. So, I think that's a major reason why he dropped. But also, I really think that Ian Abreu earned that top vote getter spot. He earned it. Does constituent service, had a really good campaign, gets back to people, treats people with respect. And Rapid Roy, James Roy, went to second because he ran a hell of a campaign. Really strong campaign. I don't think the voters really know him, but he'll have an opportunity now that he's on the city council when he gets sworn in January to make a name for himself. Less as an activist and more as a elected official. So I look forward to see what Roy does with this new power. But anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me see. Can I take a break? Nah, I'll go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. I thought it was unbelievable for a gentleman to go from, I guess he was eighth on the ballot.
Yes.
Because the challenge is both alphabetically, too, and to push into the second spot. And you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, going around town during this campaign, he's very organized, had a lot of people. And I don't know what the footwork that he did, but I'm sure he did that.
He did. He was knocking on doors because people would send me their ring cam videos of the different candidates. And, of course, ones they didn't send are the ones that didn't show up. And I got a bunch of them about James Roy.
Yeah, I've seen the numbers, particularly Ward 1, to see how he was able to capture that ward being a relatively newcomer. I don't know. Did he run last time, too?
He ran in my memory is 2011.
Wow, that far back.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But yeah, so he was the big surprise for sure. What I'm interested in now for the jockeying of the position for city council president.
Yes.
And how that will play out, because if it is true that the mayor may not run again, does that mean his timing would take place in this next year? And if you're the council president, you become the mayor. Or after January 1st, if he does decide to step down, at what point in time? And that person becomes the city council president, becomes the mayor. Now, if that scenario plays out, then the question is, well, does that city councilor fill out the remainder of his term if it's in the first year for 2 years, and that could put an end to the four-year term, or just the 1 year if he steps down in the second year of this current term, and that person will be in a good position to retain the seat, being the incumbent mayor, if you will, and what would transpire there. Now, people throwing their hats in the ring could change the whole thing.
Yes.
For example, if Tony Cabral decides to run for mayor, would he be vulnerable for that state rep seat, which what they're saying now is it's up to $250,000 for a term? And how does that fit into each individual's financial attitude toward what office they want to hold? And for me, there's basically three people. It would be Mitchell if he ran, or if he didn't run, Tony Cabral, Ian Abreu, and I think Joe Lopes. I think those three people would certainly be qualified in the event that the mayor stepped down, and they'd also be qualified for the state representative seat. So, you know, it's going to get real interesting in the next couple of years.
It really is.
I'm going to look forward to that. Yeah. I haven't been able, I was talking to, what you would call it this morning, Tim,
yeah.
What I missed, and he had his argument, correct argument, on the ability of the station to cover the general election on election night. And I was thinking, going back, because I'd ran a number of times, and it was very exciting, you know, when all the candidacies would show up at City Hall with raucous crowds and being interviewed by radio stations, some TV stations. And then you got to see what I would call what goes down in the well comes up in the bucket. You'd be able to see the character of the individuals, even the people that put themselves out there and weren't successful would get interviewed. And I think that's an important thing. I think it increases, puts a block on the apathy that has taken place in the city. And then after all the votes are counted, everybody would go to the mayor's headquarters, whoever got elected mayor, and all candidates would be there.
Yes.
And it just shows a democratic enthusiasm that I think we're missing. Now, Chris was saying that, well, you don't have enough money to cover that. But for some reason, I get in the habit at 8 o'clock, I turned on WBSM, and I get that guy Levin who drives me crazy. And there's got to be, what I was pleading for is there's got to be something that the station can do to do like a 3-hour coverage, like from 8 to 11 on election night, just to increase that enthusiasm. There's thousands of people. When you think about all these candidates, literally thousands of people that are involved in this. And it just gives that added excitement that this was election and this is what happened. You know, what do you think about that?
No, look, I mean, nice to call, Tom. Those decisions are above my pay grade. I'm just a lonely host here. But I agree with you that I think the station's capable of really bringing a lot of attention to the elections. I think we do a good job. By the election night, it's over. In other words, by election night, the die is cast. So I think that one of the points that you were making was about how election night would go. And then all the winning and losing candidates would go to the mayor's celebration, whoever had been elected mayor. And we don't do that anymore. Because the mayor's a 4-year term, although the guy who orchestrated that has left the country. That ought to be considered. And the city council's a 2-year term, which I think is fine. There hopefully will be a push within the city council to return to the two-year mayor, or at least have a conversation about going back to the two-year mayor term. And a conversation about the recall. Because the way it is now, a four-year term for the mayor, a no-cut contract for 4 years, regardless, and no recall, that is not good. That is not good. You guys, the taxpayers, the property owners in the city of New Bedford, you're in a very dangerous situation. The mayor tried to reform it. He was in part responsible for the four-year term. And he tried to reform that with a recall for all elected officials. A really reasonable recall system. And the city council, under the Shane Denistas, has had that bottled up. Bottled up. Hopefully, there'll be a serious conversation about the recall and returning to a two-year term or keeping the four-year term, whatever side you come down on. This next city council. Next city council. But it's going to be interesting. I agree with the great Tom Kennedy from the Peninsula. We'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500. She was going to be my wife and I was going to be her man. Come on, Robin. But you let another guy come between us and I share my plan. Come on, Robin. Why do you caught my eye? And I can give you lots of reasons why. You got a healthy run to help me get her out of my heart. Healthy run to help.
Welcome back to the program. Let's salute all those girls out there like Rhonda. We can all use a Rhonda once in a while in our life, right? Help me, Rhonda. Help me get her out of my heart, right? Help me get her out of my brain. Get this girl out of my brain. Thank you, Rhonda. And to all the other Rhondas, Rhonda likes girls out there. You do a service for America. And I guess the world. I guess the world. Kind of talking about open anything you want, anything on your mind. If it's interesting to you, it's probably interesting to me. The city of New Bedford's going to have to make some choices, right? You just made some. And throughout the year, you, the voters, have to reach out to your city councilors, the mayor, lobby them. You're entitled to do that. Believe me, I was talking to a lobbyist involved with city matters. He's not shy about talking to the council, not shy about talking to the people around the mayor on behalf of, in this case, the members that he represents as a lobbyist. So you, the taxpayers, have individual thoughts, requirements. That's one of the great things about what Leo Choquette does up in Ward 1 for the whole city, really. He has those meetings at Pulaski School. You can go to those meetings and you're surrounded by like-minded people who don't necessarily agree with you on everything, but they agree with the system, working within the system, lobbying their city councilors. And that forum that Leo puts on, a lot of the other city councilors show up there. Brian Gomes is there. Ian Abreu is there. Sean Oliver. Naomi Carney shows up. So when you go to those meetings up in Ward 1 on Pulaski School with Leo Choquette, you've got a lot of other community leaders and elected officials in that room with you. That's an opportunity. It really is. To do with it what you want. In a democracy, your voice can be amplified by going out and talking to your neighbors, sending an email, encouraging them to send emails to the city council, to the mayor's office, for whatever it is that you want, whatever it is you don't want. Now, there's going to be zoning changes coming up. We regularly get Barry Sylvia to call into the program, former chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals. Barry's a property owner in the city. He's had a business in the city, multiple businesses in the city, his family certainly. And Barry explains how important zoning is. And that's all the city council and the mayor's office. Do you remember earlier in the year when single-family zoning, single-family houses as a zoning category were eliminated? Now, there was question as to whether it was done by accident. Did someone make a mistake at the planning side? I don't think so. I think it was fully understood what they were doing. And the city council did it by accident. They went along with the mayor's office planning by accident. They weren't paying attention, to be honest with you. And the mayor said to me on Wednesday, they're going to come back, revisit zoning to make it so that you can build more multifamily housing in places where today you cannot. So that's going to be an interesting conversation. Again, I believe that there's a compromise there. I think the mayor is correct, but I think it's not subtle enough, not nuanced enough. But we'll see, right? We'll see. That'll be an intense conversation. Where there is currently only allowed single-family homes, if you're going to make those into two-family, possibly three- and four-family districts. So the devil is in the details. Absolutely, devil is in the details there with all zoning stuff. And Barry points that out, that in addition to cutting the budget and approving the mayor's appointees or disapproving them, the city council has to approve all zoning changes. Tremendous power. And we'll see, with Linda Morad out, James Roy in, Scott Pemberton in Ward 2, what does that mean for zoning in the city of New Bedford? What does that mean for your property rights? We'll see. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
It's okay. I dig a frisbee.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy, and you're the audience. Hey, while we're waiting for the people we elect to office in Washington to figure this out, if you are in need of food, you got to reach out to Project Bread, okay? Project Bread, and I get this number from the governor's office. The governor had a press conference last week. I was pretty proud of her, actually. I think the cocaine stuff is outrageous. The electric bills are outrageous. But it is a good thing when she held a press conference with a lot of the solutions to people that are hungry, okay? So if you are hungry, or maybe it's not you, but it's someone you know, I want you to call this phone number. They will give you help. It's anonymous. They'll give you help. It's Project Bread. 617-723-5000. All right? Project Bread. If you're hungry, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, whatever, this is how you get help. Project Bread. 617-723-5000. Right? 5000. So, during a conversation with the New Bedford Light, newbedfordlight.org, there was a question posed to Councilor-elect James Roy. Now, then he was candidate James Roy. Rapid Roy, right? That stock car driver from the Jim Croce songs. Rapid Roy, James Roy. They asked him about housing, zoning, and he said he would have not changed the zoning to preserve single-family zoning, like Linda Morad did. So what I'm saying is, it's on the record that, unlike Linda Morad, who, my understanding, either single-handedly or in cooperation with other city councilors, caught this change in zoning put forward by the mayor's office, thought possibly to be a mistake, but no, it was not a mistake. It's a policy that John Mitchell supports, abolishing single-family zoning. And he's explained that to me here and therefore to you, the audience, that he believes we put too few people on too much land. He wants more density. I mean, that's a judgment call, and that's what you elect people for, right? To use their judgment. But the mayor believes that we put too few people on too much land. So, his planning department abolished single-family zoning, making it available to now put, for instance, a duplex in certain neighborhoods where you cannot do it. Well, what happened is the city council caught it. Linda Morad, David Garatowski, the city attorney, Leo Choquette, Sean Oliver, that crowd, caught it. And then the entire city council repealed it. Okay? So today, zoning is as it was. But the mayor is going to bring that back up again. Now, a public announcement is much different than how it went down the first time. All right? That's a significant change. Announcing it ahead of time here on the radio where everyone's listening was not what they did last time. That's why there was confusion and the idea that it might have been a mistake to abolish single-family zoning. But since then, no doubt about it, it was not a mistake. Not that I think they make a lot of mistakes to begin with. The planning department, the mayor's office. But there was no announcement of it. It was put in front of the city council, and they missed it. Really a black mark for people like Linda Morad. Probably one of the reasons she retired, actually, other than the ill-gotten gain with the longevity pay. But the mayor's going to bring that up again. And Rapid Roy, that stock car boy, he says he's all for abolishing single-family zoning. according to New Bedford Light interview. And I think New Bedford Light does a great job. Anyway, we got some people on hold. Let's see what they have to say. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, my friend?
Hanging in there. You know what I noticed about this election, Chris, is the fact that outside money influenced our city, like the Coalition for Social Justice and the Massachusetts Teachers Association based in Boston, and how they backed James Roy to leapfrog to the second position on the city council at large. And the other one is another member of the Coalition for Social Justice, Melissa Costa, that was the top vote getter. The same woman that was on with Brian Thomas in August that talked about they were teaching the students and the parents of illegal aliens to know their rights with the ACLU and the IRLC, the Immigrant Resource Legal Center. And the same woman that proposed and they passed safe free zones, and she wants to have an action team to take care of any of these immigration issues if they show up ICE or shows up at the door of any public school.
Yeah, she's a radical, no doubt about it.
And that's and these organizations are radically changing our city. So you have all this money because I received three mailers. Color mailers, about 6x11, and all of them are addressed to the Teachers Association in Boston.
Yeah, I look on the Office of Campaign and Political Finance, and they spent thousands of dollars for him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So this is the thing that stood out was outside money trying to influence the direction of our city, so it can be more social programs. More taxes, control, rent stabilization, or rent control, whatever, however verbiage they want to use.
Thank you for the call, my friend. I will tell you that the Massachusetts Teachers Association, the union, the MTA, they are very hostile to Proposition 2.5, which is the only reason most of you can afford your house today. Not just in New Bedford, but in Fairhaven, in Mattapoisett, Freetown, Proposition 2.5. And we know that a number of the city councilors are hostile to it as well. And you may have added more to it. Well, at least one more. The teachers union wouldn't be backing him with all that money if he wasn't totally on board with their agenda. Take a break. We'll be right back. Embrace the things that allow me to stay alive. So I'm going to go across the street and get all my blood taken out, cleansed, and put back into my body. And God willing,